On August 11th, the Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown, New York, opened the exhibit Seen and Unseen, Photographs by Imogen Cunningham. The photographs, 1883 to 1976, reflect vital developments in 20th century art and photography. She is recognized for helping to establish photography as an art form, she was never tied to one style of photography or subject. Cunningham had a signature view in what she created. Working for over 70 years, her photographs are seductive and dynamic and inspired by a multitude of sources. Chris Rossi is director of exhibitions for the Fenimore Art Museum. She is one of our favorite guests, and it's great to have her back. Oh, I'm going to put the microphone actually right in front of you.
All right.
How's that?
Oh, that's
excellent. It's one
better.
Of the services we provide here
Thank
for
you.
Our radio guests. We give them a microphone.
All right. Thanks. Good. Happy to be here.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, thanks.
So how's it all going?
It's been a great summer. People are enjoying the Cole exhibit. They've been coming in and I think dazzled by what they see in that gallery. And Cole's going to be closing on September 30th. That's a Sunday. So I urge all of you who love the Hudson River School to come on out and see the Thomas Cole Garden of Eden exhibit.
Which we talked about the last time you were here. It's a beautiful exhibit, and if anyone wants to go back and listen to that interview, it's online, and you can at WAMC.org, or you can check out your website, of course, which is FenimoreArtMuseum.org. But as you mentioned, that exhibit closes on the 30th. Now's a great time to go because you not only get to see the Cole exhibit, but you also get to see this incredible photography exhibit.
Yes, I think we've been dazzled by the Cunningham exhibit. It's very well curated. It's a tight show, meaning it's got 60 images in it or thereabouts, but they're very well chosen, and they're a great example of Cunningham's stunning work from beginning to end. And this is somebody who worked into her 90s.
So tell us about her. Tell us about how this exhibit came about and how these photographs from the very large collection were plucked.
Okay. I like to think of, especially after seeing this exhibit, of Cunningham as the original badass lady photographer.
There you go.
There you go. This is somebody
Excellent.
Who she liked to take chances. She wasn't afraid to step out into what was probably, I think, considered a man's world. The exhibit's actually brought to us by the Cunningham Trust. They did the curation. They did a great job. And she's a great counterbalance to the show we had in previously, which was the beautiful Edward Weston exhibit. And they were contemporaries. They both worked at the same time.
And did they have influence on one another?
They did. And in fact, you'll see here, Cunningham, they were both part of the same group. They were both part of F64. They both started out as pictorialists. These are photographs that, in the early days of photography was trying to be painting. It was trying to gain legitimacy by looking like a painting. And the folks in the F64 group, which refers to F-stop, that gives you the greatest depth of field, decided that photography was valid on its own. And they are the people that forged what we think of as modern photography. And they include Weston, Cunningham, and somebody you may know, that guy, Ansel Adams, who's
right.
part of the group. Yep.
Part of the group. So now tell us about her. How did a camera get in her hands and start this incredible career of seven decades?
Yeah, she grew up in on the West Coast. Her dad helped her get a camera. She studied, I think it was at Washington State University. She studied chemistry. She went abroad. She went to Germany and studied over there, came back, started making photos. I believe she got a mail order camera to start her career. And she was quickly recognized for her talent, eventually being picked up by the likes of Vanity Fair to do portraits of celebrities. And that's a whole nother wonderful story.
Okay, tell that story.
I'm going to tell that story. See, I teased you.
So sort of an early Annie Leibovitz then.
Exactly. In the 1930s, she was married. She had children. She was offered a position with Vanity Fair to make portraits. Cunningham, in a famous interview, went on to say that they only gave her ugly men to photograph. Which is great when you come to see this exhibit, because we've got an exhibition of and one of her photos of Cary Grant. And when asked about Cary Grant being ugly, she said, well, he convinced me that he wasn't, which I think is absolutely fabulous. But the workload eventually led to the breakup of her marriage. And the story goes that her husband, who was a professor, said to her, you know, you have to wait until I can follow you. And if you don't, that's it. And she said, so long, see ya.
Wow.
Yeah.
But Cary Grant aside, was she basically right about the ugly men?
No.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Well, some of them. But I mean, you know.
They're still movie stars.
Yeah, they're movie stars. Yeah.
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 So, but that's only one part of her career.
Yeah.
One part of basically who the people who were hiring her, right?
Yes. Yeah. She had exhibits at various museums. She was recognized internationally. Her early portraits are really stunning, and they're in this exhibit. And just going back to this example of how she really was ahead of her time, the first piece you're going to see when you come into the exhibit is a self-portrait by Cunningham, but it's a nude. And
yeah.
She's out in a field, and this is just unheard of. You know, we're talking like, gosh, 19-teens or something, so earlier than that. So really unusual to have a woman put that out there.
What brought her, so Seattle was home?
Yeah, but eventually California.
Okay.
That's really, and all throughout her career, she finds herself in California. She does travel and study internationally, but San Francisco really becomes the home base or that area. And you see that through the photos, including towards the end of her life, great images she made in Haight-Ashbury.
So when she does the work with Vanity Fair, and then we go into a period of basically street photography, right?
Right, right. She was a genius at street photography. She called them her stolen images, and she was just perfect at connecting with what another photographer has called the decisive moment. You know, the moment that tells everything in an image. And we've got one image of dancers that seem to be magically suspended in the air with these stunning shadows on the ground. And Cunningham, again, with that genius for the moment, was able to capture just that second and make this incredible photograph.
So, and help me out with the timeline here, but this is about the point where Ansel Adams says, oh, why don't you come to the California School of Art?
Yes, they're overlapping with each other. She winds up teaching there. She's in and out of teaching situations throughout her life and has an affiliation with that institution.
And how, so the exhibit you would consider a retrospective of the entire career?
Yeah, yeah. It starts from, as I mentioned, that very early
right.
self-portrait. And goes all the way up. She was making photographs until she passed on in her 90s. And one very stunning image towards the end of her life, which is a plant form, and she's famous for the plant forms, and her hand, a white hand. And it's a crazy, once again, innovative self-portrait that's just her hand in the plant.
Mm. And the plant, I mean, that is significant because she was, in many ways, considered a nature photographer.
She was. At the beginning of her career, she and her husband, Roy Partridge, were living in California, and she was basically home with the kids, but she was making photographs the whole time, and she became an avid gardener. And one of the subjects for her camera were the plant forms. She took photos of the kids, and she made portraits, but the plant forms were something she really developed into an amazing art form and pushed them to the point where they're almost abstractions.
So that idea of abstraction, I mean, she would take, I don't know what the photographic term for it, other than blurry, right?
Right,
there,
yeah.
There's a blurred sense to the image.
Well, more than that, breaking down the image into basic shapes so that it's almost like something a cubist might do with a portrait or a landscape. So when you look at the plant form, you're seeing not only a plant, but you can just step back a minute and just see abstract shapes, which are what composes the plant.
So the point is to see those shapes as opposed to seeing the fine detail of the plant itself.
Or maybe all of those things.
Right. And how did she, because one of the things that has become apparent over this conversation and in my brief reading about her last night was that she was very experimental.
She was. Throughout her life, she's always just pushing the boundaries. She's not afraid to try things. There are photographs in the exhibits that are in the exhibit that are double exposures. There's a portrait of the surrealist artist Man Ray, which is a series of double exposures that make the portrait look completely surreal. There's one image that's in the area about her street photography, her time in Haight-Ashbury, where she used a Rolleiflex camera. That's a camera where the film is on a roll.
Right.
For those of you who still remember film cameras.
Sure.
And she accidentally, somehow, the roll got stuck. And so it's two images printed simultaneously, and it's a guy on the street with a raccoon, a pet raccoon. And it's a fabulous photo. It was totally accidental, and she was totally good with going with it.
And that's fascinating. I mean, that would give you an idea of just the experimental nature.
Yeah.
Like being okay with that.
Right, right. She was open to just about anything. Somebody asked her what her favorite photo was, and she said her favorite photo is the one she's going to take tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that idea that there's always something out there to learn, all the way, again, like up to she passed on when she was 93, and I think she was making art all the way to the end.
Died in 1976. Was it always black and white?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is a mysterious style, isn't there? There's a mysterious nature to much of the work.
Yeah, there really is. She does capture the essence of whatever she's photographing, and they really do just draw you in. They're beautiful, but there's a mystery and a story to them.
So for you putting all this together, I mean, obviously it was curated, but you bring it in and you're helping to tell the story at the Fenimore. That must be a lot of fun.
It's wonderful. She's somebody who I've always admired. I have to admit, I love getting women artists in. I think it's these people, even though Cunningham is part of the F64, I always think that people like Adams and Weston maybe get a little more airplay than she does. So I'm very, very pleased to have her front and center, and people are responding very positively to what they see.
Seen and Unseen, photographs by Imogen Cunningham, is on view at the Fenimore Art Museum through the 14th of October. Also, don't forget, you can see the Cole exhibit as well through the 30th of September. You can find out and plan your trip by going to fenimoreartmuseum.org, fenimoreartmuseum.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Chris Rossi is Director of Exhibitions for the Fenimore Art Museum. Chris, it's always a pleasure when you're here.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Be well. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.